Geriatric Millennials. I'm Beth.
And I'm Jamie.
And we're just two oldish, youngish ladies talking about oldish, youngish ladies' health.
Stuff that happens.
Stuff. Well,
to your health.
To your health as you get older. And it's, I have several friends that are in their like late 30s, early 40s. And we have just been talking recently about weird stuff that happens as you get older and how, you know, we've talked before about like the micro injuries and how, or macro injuries or whatever it is, where it's like you're just doing your normal life. And then like I was walking the other day and all of a sudden my ankle just kind of gave out a little bit. I'm walking on flat ground in flat shoes. And I took a step and I was like, oh, ouch. And then I had to like reassess and make sure my joint was okay before I continued on my way.
Yeah.
I was like, what the heck was that?
Right. You were just walking.
Yeah.
Just walking.
Just walking.
Yep. I mean, one of the most unfortunate things, in my opinion, is the sleeping.
Yeah.
Is the getting injured in your sleep, like waking up in pain.
Oh my
and
gosh.
I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Like I was just asleep.
Why does my
back feel like this? Oh, I have an update though.
Oh, what?
Maybe, I don't know if I actually told you this yet, but remember I was telling you about my bed hammock?
Yeah.
That's like, feels like a hammock that should not be.
With a piece of plywood in the middle of your bed.
Okay, I did tell you that I put plywood in it and now it's much better.
Oh, you like it?
I do.
That cracks me up that you just have like, you know, there's a Lowe's big,
there's
board.
A giant board in the middle of my sandwich in between my layers of my mattress, and it was life-changing. Although this morning when I woke up, my back hurt and I was like, oh no. Like what? That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Sleeping, waking up and like being in pain. And I'm like, excuse me?
I hear you. I told you I got that J pregnancy pillow.
Yes.
For non-pregnant people. And it really has changed the way I sleep. Like I used to get incredibly bad hip pain where it was just like, I would wake up in the middle of the night and just be like, ow, 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 ow. I'm sure my neighbor thought, I don't know what's going on over there, but sounds interesting. But it was so painful. It was like,
did you not have other pillows that you were stuffing between your legs?
But like they would fall out because they're small or whatever. But this thing like wraps my whole body so I can't get away from it and it just locks me in so well. And I just
I know, but you also told me it was like $90. So I'm hesitant to make that investment.
It was worth it to me because like I've slept better every single night since getting it.
Okay.
And I don't know. I just like it. I do need to get like they have like a cold pillowcase for it that keeps you cooler. And I mean, I'm not having hot flashes, but I'm definitely hotter at night than I used to be. And so.
Well, I have a question about it.
Yeah.
Are you a side sleeper? So you're sleeping on your side, right?
Sleep side and back.
Okay. So do you switch from side to side?
Yes.
How do you do that with your pillow? You just have to take it with you?
Well, like, it has like one of the sides is just shorter. So sometimes I'm fine to just sleep like that. And then sometimes
like
I'll
flip
it over.
Like if you turn over, you leave the pillow where it's at and you can still use it?
Well, it doesn't have like between the legs unless you do from behind. But it does. It works. Yeah. It works for me.
What do you mean it doesn't have something for between your legs?
So like it's like the shape of a J. So if you're laying like if I'm facing one direction and it's like the full length of the pillow, I can put it between my legs.
Yeah.
If and I then roll when you over,
that's what I'm, that is what
it's
I'm
not
asking.
Coming through the front. It'd have to come from the back.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So then you'd have to like, in my mind, you would have to take that pillow with you to like turn it so that it's still in front of you.
You could, but sometimes I don't sleep with it between the legs. I'll just sleep with it because it's pretty long on me because I'm short, and it works too. I don't know. It just works for me. But I do need
wonderful.
The cold pillowcase because I'm just so hot. The other day I was like, I don't know what's happened hormonally. I'm not claiming perimenopausal yet because I haven't done any tests and I don't want to be in the early stages of premenopause. Like that just is too much for my brain.
Yeah.
But I realized I'm just like, I used to sleep with multiple blankets. I'll sleep in long sleeves like year round. Fine. Now it's like if I sleep in more in a t-shirt and like just like loose pants, it is like I'm on fire a little bit.
Do you think that has to do with the temperature of your home?
No, because nothing has changed from like 2 years ago when I was fine.
Oh, this is only 2 years.
Yeah, this has just been in the last like year and a half or so. Yeah.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah.
You also hormones. Have multiple cats. Are they sleeping with you?
Well,
are they affecting the temperature
of
your bed?
I'm sure. Well, one cat does not sleep in the same room. The bigger cat does, but she used to always sleep on my feet. Now she's been sleeping on my chest.
Well, no wonder you're hot.
But that wasn't always a factor. Like this was happening before she was all up in my grill. But it just has made me realize like I really have to be more focused on health now. Like, and I've been kind of on this health journey of just like, I don't feel good. And I've been to a few different doctors, and it's very much just like a shrug. Like, well, all your tests look fine and blah, blah, blah. Like, we don't know. And I'm just like, I don't think that I should only have like one or two good weeks a month of feeling okay. And really, like, I was doing the math on this. I really only have like one, like, I'll say 7 to 10 days a month where I feel like good myself. I'm in the right headspace. I physically feel I can go do stuff. And that to me is not enough.
Do you feel like there's any correlation to your cycle?
I know that's part of it. And I definitely have tracked that. But I'm like, I shouldn't have to have a shitty week. Sorry. What am I going to say? I shouldn't have to have a shitty week before my cycle, during my cycle, and then after my cycle.
Well, absolutely not.
That takes up all the time.
But it really does. But I'm just wondering if it does have to do with that, like with
it does. Hormones. It's part of it. So I'm working with like a new doctor now. We're going to be testing all of this stuff and just seeing That's if good. We can find a source. But the one of the first tests she wanted me to take, because I've just been having upset tummies and just not feeling good, was a colonoscopy.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you. So another doctor had asked me to do one last year, and I did like the initial like, hey, let's talk it through with the like gastroenterologist office. We're going to set a schedule date. It didn't happen. And I didn't really push it. I was like, meh, I'm fine. This time I was just like, we're going to do this. We are going to like, I'm a big fan of like, you have to advocate for your own health.
I mean, it's true. Like, nobody else really is going to do that for you.
Yeah. And just going to a doctor and saying, hey, fix me. That's just not really the way our system works and how things go.
No.
So you really have to just like make it happen. And so anyway, like, so I'm like, okay, we're not going to bow out of this. We are going to do this thing. And so I do the first, like, you know, they have a conversation with you, blah, blah, blah. And the reason I'm sharing this, which might be TMI, but I didn't know.
I love TMI.
Well, and especially when it comes to procedures I've never had before. I like to know what I'm getting into in a real way.
Please tell me.
Yeah.
Because my husband was just telling me, oh, it's almost time for your colonoscopy, like 45. Coming right up. And I was like, can you just back off?
Yeah.
Like, give me some, I mean, I've got time.
Yeah.
But it really is around the corner.
Yeah. So. And it's so important. And I was just reading something where it's like more young people are getting like colon cancer and rectal cancer and things. So it's like important to look at.
Yeah.
So anyway, like basically like they, first of all, they send you this list of things that you can and can't do. And so the week before, you're like not able to eat certain things like seeds and berries with seeds and just all of this stuff.
Oh.
Because I'm guessing it can like get clogged up in your intestine grooves. Yeah, or something. Oh. I don't know. I don't know.
Interesting.
And then you have to drink. You get
for
this
a whole week.
For the week before. They were like, don't eat corn. Don't eat like tomato skins, stuff like that.
What?
So the first, I know. So day one, the very first day, I go home and I did all this meal prep, like all this meal prep for the week. Because I'm trying to like eat in a way that's like more nutrient rich and all this crap. And I'm like, I made these burrito bowls. And so I'm eating the burrito bowl. And I look down like, Beth, this is corn. You can't have corn this week. And so it was just like, I was like, oh my gosh, you're such an idiot. And so then I had to like go find a different dinner. I'm like, okay, it's only Monday. My procedure's not till next Monday. It should be fine.
Yeah.
So the next day I go to work. And again, you don't have to really change much of your eating habits. So I'm like eating a salad and stuff. And I look down and I had put sunflower seeds all in the salad. You can't have seeds.
Oh, whoops.
And I'm trying to eat around the sunflower seeds. That's almost impossible in a salad.
Yeah, because they're kind of small.
They're tiny. And so I was like, oh my gosh, why can't I do this? So then, so the next day I did so well. Like I brought like the appropriate food to work. I had a good breakfast, all this stuff. This is like a few days out, right, from the thing. And I was like, man, I just had a rough day. I'm like, I'm going to get a Krispy Kreme donut on the way home. Because I was just like, I just want a little dessert. So I'm like, I'm going to go get a Krispy Kreme. And so I get a Krispy Kreme and I get home, I have dinner, I'm eating the Krispy Kreme. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I got a raspberry filled donut.
Shoot.
And it's like, thankfully it didn't have seeds. I thought at first it did, but it didn't.
It might have been more of like a raspberry creamish jelly filled.
It was jelly, but sometimes it has seeds, but this one didn't have seeds. But I was just like, you were self-sabotaging in the worst ways. So anyway, I got through the week like, and I had a colonoscopy on a Monday. So you have to prep on like the Sunday. So that day you can only be on a liquid diet and nothing red or purple.
What?
Yeah. I'm guessing because it can make it see
a
stuff.
A liquid diet.
Yes.
Nothing red or purple.
Yeah.
So what did you drink?
So you can do like broth, water, like clear teas. You could do Jell-O as long as it was red.
So you couldn't do like a smoothie?
You couldn't do a smoothie. You could do protein powder that are clear because I guess there's clear protein powders. But my dumbass is like, oh yeah, I can't eat today. No. That's not what they said. So I go the first part of the morning just not eating and I'm starving.
Well, that is what they said. If you
know, a liquid diet has calories. You can drink apple juice. I'm eating nothing. I'm fasting.
Not even drinking stuff.
I'm just drinking water. And it was like, that was not what the requirement was. And I'm so now I'm starving. So then I had to go to the grocery store starving. And like just try and buy like only clear beverages and like my I could only find green Jell-O, so I ate so much lime Jell-O because I just needed a texture. And I'm trying to drink like this fake chicken broth that's like not chicken, obviously, because I don't eat meat. You think veggie broth, but it was, had a different flavoring. Okay, it was just like a whole thing.
Yeah.
So then you have to drink this thing called prep, and there's a couple different ways that they help clean out your system.
Okay.
So you can either drink something. Or you can swallow pills. I'm not a good pill swallower. Not going to happen. So I got this thing. It's basically you have to drink 3 liters of this fluid.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. So the first night, so you
does it just make you poop like a ton?
Oh my gosh, girl. So it's like the first day. So it's this day before you're just having a liquid diet. So you're already not putting stuff in now that's like heavy.
Yeah.
And so you start drinking this stuff. I had to start drinking it the night. And you drink it like you drink 8 ounces every 15 minutes for 2 hours. Okay. And the consistency of it, it's a little bit thick, but not thick, but just it had a little bit of
what does it taste like?
It tasted gross. And they had like a lemon lime like thing you could add to it. And they're like, it's best to drink it very cold. It helps. For me, not so much. I'm not a cold beverage girl. So I'm drinking this super cold, disgusting, kind of thicker, but not thick at all beverage. And it just, I'm trying to take it as shooters and I cannot get it down. It's not bitter. It just has this medicinal taste.
Is it supposed to be like a sludge that like goes through
you? No. It's just like a little bit like, it's just a little bit thicker than water.
But is the purpose of that to like.
So it's something that there's stuff in it that makes you just like.
That's what I mean.
You out.
It's
yes.
like, it like it moves.
It plunges your gut.
That's what I, okay.
It moves everything. So I take it the first one and people said, oh, it's the worst part. And it's bad. The drink wasn't that bad. Like I had it measured. I had like a little checklist. That was key for me is like I had like every 15 minutes marked out with like my 8 ounces and I just kept checking them off and that kept me motivated. But about 30 minutes in, oh my gosh, my body was like, it's on.
Was it like?
It's on. At first you're just like, okay, this isn't that bad. It's kind of normal, but you know, just more intense. And then all of a sudden it was like, no, we're not normal anymore. Like we are like, like at that point you can't trust. I realized you can't trust squatting. You can't trust.
How did you realize that?
Well, because I started to squat. And I was like, oh gosh. And I had to run. And so then I was very careful. You can't trust any pressure. So it's like, if I felt like I needed to cough or sneeze, I immediately went to the bathroom.
You better go get on the toilet.
Yeah. Because any pressure was just like, we are going to Turkey Town. Like it is real serious.
Yeah. You need to stay home.
Oh yeah. Do not try to do that and be like, I'm going to do it during my work day. You will hate your life.
Yeah.
Like you need to be at home. You need to be at a familiar toilet. You need to make sure you have enough TP. You need to make sure that they were like literally one of the instructions, like you might want to put Vaseline or like a lubricant on your bunghole because so much is going to come out and you're going to be constantly going in that like, just for protection. And I was just like, oh my gosh.
So you don't like get raw.
Yeah. It was, the thing I wish I would have known was that it was just going to be like so intense for so long and that I really needed to stay more hydrated earlier in the day. Like,
yeah.
I wish I would have been a little bit more hydrated. I wish I'd have gotten some more electrolytes in me. I did like one Gatorade, but I wish I'd done more. Anyway, so you spend the whole like afternoon, like after like maybe an hour after I had drinking everything, I was done. But you have to start drinking again within like 6 hours of your procedure. So I had to wake up at 2:30 in the morning because my procedure was at 6:45 and start drinking it again.
Ew.
So my alarm went off at 2:30. I had to drink another quart of this. I get through it. Everything's coming out. You could, and
was there anything left?
No, but all of that fluid is still coming out. And I was drinking water at that time. And then, like a couple hours before the procedure, you can't drink anything, right? Because you don't want to throw up and like aspirate on your own.
Okay. Yeah.
Vomit. So at 4 o'clock in the morning, I had to stop drinking. So now it's like, okay, the well is dry pretty much.
Yeah.
And you have to have somebody drive you because you go under. So I get to the procedure and I was very nervous, but I was trying to just like the whole weekend, I was just trying to stay calm. Like I didn't do much that weekend because I was just trying to like, we're just going to keep mellow and whatever because I didn't want to get too anxious. But I signed in for my little procedure and stuff and I go back and like the nurses were really nice. But my doctor specifically was like, you have to take a pregnancy test. Well, right before we came, I had to go to the bathroom. So I like went, and the well is dry. Like, yeah. I've been going to the bathroom now for a long time out of all the places, and I am done. And so they're like, no, you have to take a pregnancy test. I'm like, there's no way I'm pregnant. Like, we don't care. Like, he's adamant, you have to take a pregnancy test. So they have to like put an IV and like open the IV up more to like get fluids in me to get enough. They're like, we just need 3 drops. And I'm like, do you understand? It's the Sandman. There's nothing.
You're like, I'm not producing 3 drops.
There's nothing. And so they prepped me and everything, and I was super nervous. The nurse was really nice. Like, they come in, like the anesthesiologist talks to you and the doctor talks to you, and that was all good. And
how did they prep you?
So all they did for prep is I did the prep with all that, you know, getting rid of everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when I went in, basically I just changed into a hospital gown. You're fully buck naked, which was a lot. Yeah. And then like the place I went to, it's like kind of like the area, because I had an endoscope where they went down and a colonoscopy where they go up. And so I'm just in this thing, and like they're taking me to the bathroom, and my gown is completely open in the back. So I'm trying to like hold it together while, you know, going with an IV to go to the bathroom. And that was kind of it. They IV'd
you. So you weren't pregnant?
I was not pregnant, thankfully. it was just wild. They're like taking my blood pressure, and my blood pressure is super high because I'm so nervous.
Yeah.
And then your blood pressure also gets higher when you're in pain. And the cuff is pinching me so hard that now it's like, I feel like it's going up because I'm like so nervous that the cuff is going to go off, because it's automatically going off every like 5 minutes. And it's so painful because it's like pinching me. Anyway, it was just like,
sounds miserable.
This whole time though, I'm just like, we're just breathing, and I'm asking questions. And it ended up, one of the nurses gave me a hug. She was so nice. And I was just like, is this normal? I don't know. But I finally went, and then they took me back, and I was just like, we're just going to be calm. Well, the first thing I do, they put this gag in my mouth. Like, it's this thing to hold my mouth open while they're doing the endoscopy thingy. And so I had to like, it's like this plastic, like a ball gag, but with like a hole in it. And so I have it over my thing. And then the anesthesiologist puts like an oxygen mask over me. And I'm just like, just breathe, Beth. Just breathe. I'm out.
Yeah. Did they start counting backwards or anything?
Nothing. But what I thought it was funny, like before they started, I looked at the doctor. I'm like, Doc, can you take some pictures while you're in there? He's like, we don't normally do that. Like, and I was like, but I need some pictures for my wall. Or I don't know what I said. It was something stupid. Anyway, so then like I went under, I was gone, like nothing. I came out, I was back in recovery. It was great. I didn't feel anything. Like, okay. I thought I was going to be kind of half awake, because I just didn't want to have the sensation of somebody like
jamming something up your anus. I mean, who does?
Not in that situation. No. Like, that doesn't sound like, that's, hey, doc. You know?
Yeah.
I didn't want that. And I remember when the nurse was going down your throat. Well, and when I was talking to the nurse, like right before they took me back, I'm like, you guys see a lot of buttholes, right? Like, this is like, you guys don't remember this stuff, right? She's like, oh no, this is early in the week too. Like, we don't even think about it, blah, blah, blah. So like, you're just lost in the sea of buttholes. Just like, thank you. That's what I needed to hear.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty like modest in the sense of like, I don't like to show the people my bits.
Yeah.
Especially strangers.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, I saw this TikTok once where somebody was having a colonoscopy and they left their phone on record, and it recorded the doctors and nurses talking about the person. And I'm like, that is my greatest fear, is to like be in a very vulnerable state and then hear that people were over me just being like, and look at this little, you know, whatever.
Butthole.
Look at her butthole. Clearly she doesn't bleach it, you know, whatever it is. But anyway, I came out, and then it's like, I was kind of loopy when I got up. Not like high loopy, like just sleepy loopy.
Yeah.
Girl, I was a comedian. I wish I would have seen that. Like, it was just like jokes were flying. I promoted our podcast, just so you know, with the nurses.
Good job.
They had it like, I had to get dressed by myself, which was hilarious because I was like, whoa-wee, whoa-wee. And I was like very whatever. And then a family member came to pick me up, and like they said, you're going to be hungry and then you're going to be tired. And like, they're like, don't do anything. Like, you can't drive yourself. One of the rules is like, you can't sign contracts. You shouldn't. And I was just like, this makes sense that you could make some bad decisions. So I made my family member go through drive-thru and get me like food. We came home, and like, I thought my family member would like stay with me for a while to make sure I was okay, because the nurses were like, you know, you might want to hang out, blah, blah, blah. They're like, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. I'm like, cool. They went to the bathroom. Like, they're like, bye. And they left. And then I was just home by myself and slept it off. And I think the worst part was like, I had a little bit of a sore throat. Because they took biopsies, and so they had cut parts, so you could kind of feel like almost like a stitch where they had taken them. So when I was swallowing things, I could feel these little aches and pains. Yeah. But But overall, I would say like it was way less worse of a procedure than like a lot of things.
Yeah.
And
well, that's good. And the fact that they put you out, I think is brilliant.
And it's like I got put out once before in like the late 90s for my wisdom teeth. And that getting out was very different. Like I was super anxious. And when I woke up, I was like fighting it kind of thing. Oh. But the lady that I was talking to, she's like, oh, no, we've moved on to like much better medications now. And I'm like, long time ago, 20 something years ago. But it was like, it was just like you come out of like a sleep and it was great. I slept. I dreamed during the time. I dreamt of my cats. I was having a little party with my cats in my dream.
Amazing.
I was like also terrifying. But yeah.
And did you feel nauseous at all?
Nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
It was great. And then it was like, I just came home and slept. Again, the worst part was just having those like little pains in my esophagus from the biopsies. But like by the next day I was fine. And dumbass me, because I'm stupid, because I just had this procedure, I'm thinking I'm cured. I'm like, no, dummy, that was a test to see if you have things, right?
You're like, oh, it's over. I'm good now.
And so then I go right back to like my normal stuff. And then like the next day I have a stomach ache and I'm like, oh yeah, like this was just a test. This wasn't like the cure to like whatever. But thankfully, like I didn't have any polyps and I didn't have anything. They didn't find anything major.
That's great news.
Which was all good. And now I have it crossed off my list. I have to do it for 10 more years.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know how often you're supposed to do that.
So every 10 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, but if they find polyps, you might have to go back sooner. But it's nice because if they do find them, they just cut them out right there. And those are like, can be like precancerous. So it's just, I don't know.
I didn't know any of this. Yeah. I'm really glad you're telling me so I know what to expect.
And you can't feel anything, which is the best part of it.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want to feel any of that.
No. But anyway, I don't know. I have other friends that are like kind of in the process of like having to get this done. So like we were talking about it and I just want everybody to know, there may be a picture of my colon on my Christmas card this year. Ask,
did like you I had get pictures.
I got like.
Did they give you?
They
pictures?
They gave me like 10 pictures. They're really great. And like they're like, here's your rectum. Here's your colon. Here's your small intestine. Here's this. So here's your esophagus. This is the inside of your stomach. It's really cool looking.
Are you going to show people? Are you going to post this on this?
I might not post it to the geriatric millennials. It might go on my private to my friends.
Like, you don't want to post your rectum on there?
Here's my rectum, guys. You're welcome. But I mean,
you could just post a picture and then people.
What this is.
Yes. Guess what this is. Which body part is this?
Yeah. I would be terrified to see what people say. But anyway,
I want to play that game.
Okay. I'll start sending you them because there's multiple. But anyway, I just think anytime I get a procedure done or anytime I hear, like, I'm thinking about something, it's even, like, Botox, even, like laser, even, like, cosmetic stuff. I want, like, somebody to tell me what it's like so I can, like, not have the anxiety around it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you about laser hair removal anytime.
Are you still loving it?
I mean, the results.
Okay. Is it, you said it's, like, not super painful.
Yeah, it is now.
Oh.
They keep upping it. So they start off, and they don't do it super intense because they want you to come back, right? So... yeah, the last time I went, it was extremely painful.
Okay.
It was extremely painful. And I was like, I don't know if I can do this.
Okay.
And then apparently they have a new thing that is going to be there the next time I go that is supposed to alleviate a lot of that. It's like this little, I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but it somehow works with it to have like a blast of cold something. So that I don't even know. I don't know what it's going to be. I just hope that it's better painful. Next time. Because, yeah, I mean, granted, I'm getting pretty sensitive areas.
Yeah.
But still. Lasered. But still. Yeah, it hurt a lot last time. I was like, dang. Oh,
that's good to know.
Yeah.
I had a good friend that, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, and then I was like, oh my gosh, like, why am I doing this? In this session, I was like, do I really want this? And she's like, beauty is pain. I'm like, but is it beauty? Like, no one gives who cares? Like, who cares if I have hair? Like, well, everyone has hair.
Who's going to be posted on their social media?
But I mean, it's me. I mean, I do. Mm-hmm. I do. I like that. I don't even have to shave my armpits now.
That's amazing.
Like very rarely. Mm-hmm. But still, I was just like, I don't know if this is worth it. I mean, it will be.
It will be.
But in the moment, it not is so intense.
Much. Yeah.
It's intense.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie about it. It hurts.
Well, my friend just got this treatment. It's the like facial where they roll the thing on you and do all the little puncture holes on your face.
Oh,
what is it?
What's the point
of that? Micro dirt or something. I can't remember the name. Forgive me.
Micro needling?
Yes. Well, because it stimulates the collagen in your skin. Because
it's like, oh, I have to heal this now.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And then you put like stuff on it. And like there's such one called a vampire one where it's like they draw your own blood and like spin it and take like the plasma out or something. Please forgive me if this is wrong and you're an esthetician and you're like, oh my gosh, this girl knows nothing. I just know that Kim Kardashian did it years ago and I remember seeing it. And then I didn't realize it was an option in our town, but it was kind of exciting. But my friend just got her first one and it was like, she was really red. Like, I was like, oh, that's good to know. Like, they gave her like numbing cream and stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's good to know. Like,
yeah.
Because
you're considering doing that.
Well, I went and got to a facial once and like they were like, oh, do you want this treatment? And it was like some acid treatment. I was like, sure. And they're like, okay, it's going to feel like battery acid for a second and then it'll be gone. So it goes on and then, yeah, it was like this just weird.
Burns a layer off?
Yeah. So it just was like this, it just felt like, you know, in those like when you see in a movie, like a wildfire, but it's just like on the grass and it's just slowly burning and it goes so fast to black. It was like that on my face.
Oh.
My face didn't turn any weird colors or anything, but that was the feeling. It just was like this flash and you could just feel it going down as she was like painting it on.
Did your skin peel?
No, it wasn't a super intense one, but it just helped to like, I mean, like one layer of skin or something. I never did it again because it was like I was on vacation, but I don't know. I would have liked to know the pain level of that one before I did it.
Yeah. There are so many procedures now that, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a part of me that's like, cool, like I'd like to do all those, but it's expensive. Everything is so expensive.
Well, here's the thing. There's like kind of like this fun med spa ones that are like, oh, expensive and blah, blah, blah. But at least you're like getting beauty out of it. And then there's like the other side of being older where it's just like, oh, I got to get a colonoscopy. Oh, I got to get a mammogram. Have you had a mammogram yet?
I have.
Same. And if you've never had a mammogram, it's uncomfortable for sure.
Yeah.
I have big boobs.
I have such small boobs.
That very it was different like, experience, right?
I'm sure it was because she was like stretching, like trying to get something to put in the thing.
Yeah.
There's really not much there.
The lady was like, first of all, she started doing
with to her warm hands, up her hands.
And then she's gently cupping my boob and like hoisting it up onto the machine.
Very different experience.
Yeah. And she's like,
come on, like we got to get something in there.
That's so rude.
And it's like up on my, up in my armpit. Yeah. Cause like that, cause there's like, really don't have much, particularly
you
on
got
one
good
side.
For what you have.
Okay. Well.
It makes sense with your body. You know, it's very J-Lo. I'm telling you, though. I think that's the hardest thing is, like, now we're getting to the place where you have to do all these procedures that are, like, medical procedures
right. It's like,
that cost money
this is
and
not
are
cosmetic,
not fun.
Not cosmetic at all.
This is not making me look hotter.
No. Nope.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're enjoying this podcast and would like to support our show, you can share episodes with your friends and family, follow us on Instagram at the Geriatric Millennials, or leave us a positive review and rating, all which help us to grow. Our theme music was created by the Finley Ghost, so check out their latest album now. Thank you so much.